You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled. You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
June the 9th, 2020, many Democrats fear that they're going to be sucked into some positions they don't want. All this call for defunding police, abolishing police, they know that's going to give some good attack ammunition for Donald Trump if they sign off on that kind of stuff. So they're trying to sidestep it. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer were asked about it, and Pelosi said, well, that's a local decision. Senator Kamala Harris, Democrat of California, is trying to avoid directly saying whether she backs it. And yet, I've got some audio coming up that says, oh, she's on board. But, you know, just in case I need to back up. And in particular, because Joe Biden finally came out and said, yeah, I'm against defunding. And she wants to be on his ticket. So she's got to reconsider for sure what she's doing. In the meantime, the president of the NAACP, declining to endorse defund a police movement. Leaders of the Black Congressional Caucus against defunding police, saying that's just going to make our communities more dangerous. Dateline Chicago. You're in the riding on May 31st. That city had its bloodiest day in 60 years. 18 murders in a 24-hour period. When you add in the rest of the weekend, the number of deaths jumped to 25. An additional 85 wounded that weekend. But again, Sunday, May 31st, the most violent day in that city's known history, and it was all tied to the rioting. That was one of the most violent days of rioting they were having, and they point out the most violent day in the records prior to that, August 4, 1991, when 13 were killed. The victims this time around, including a 36-year-old father of two, two 18-year-old girls, college freshmen, and others. Not all of it tied directly to the rioting, but again, if police are tied up with those incidents, they're not available to protect you. Indianapolis, Indiana. Chris Beatty, a 38-year-old real estate broker, former Indiana University football player. He was murdered in riots on May 30th in that community. He saw a couple thugs trying to steal purses from two women during the riots. He was going to stop them, and he was shot dead. He's a black man trying to help two ladies and protect them. They shot him dead because, hey, we're here to riot, cause chaos, mayhem, and kill if we need be. We're not interested in law and order. Then out of Virginia, a man accused of driving his car through a group of protesters in one of those events, charged with malicious wounding, felony vandalism, assault and battery. 36-year-old white man. Turns out that he is an admitted leader of the KKK. Now he's under arrest for causing more violence during the riot. Good. Round them all up. I don't care what the color is. If they're causing violence, arson, firebombing, looting, harm to other people, I don't care. They're violating the law. Arrest them. The World Health Organization estimating lockdowns might have prevented 5 million confirmed cases of COVID-19 in this nation. And that would have equaled something like 280,000 deaths based on the current figures. But we didn't have it because everybody's locked down, except during the rioting, of course. And then everybody went out with or without masks. And those Democrats who said you got to stay locked down, they didn't care if you're in the street protesting or even rioting. That's okay. New York City trying to open up, and yet some of those businesses already hit hard, not by the virus itself, but just by the rioting. They can't do it. They cannot begin to reopen. And the percentage of Minnesota residents testing positive for the virus since the beginning of the pandemic down dramatically over the last 2 weeks, despite 13 days of riots and protests in the street, thousands in the streets, and the virus is down. So Trump administration saying, you know, I think we can go ahead and start our MAGA rallies again. Well, why not? But, of course, the left would say, no, it's too dangerous. Go back, lock down. Oh, this video's off the air, I'll tell you right now. It was up briefly. If you didn't see it, sorry. CNN primetime host Chris Cuomo spotted naked, butt naked, behind his wife while she's doing her yoga video that she's sharing to Instagram. I guess she didn't see he was there. She didn't care, but there he is, buttocks exposed and everything. Oh, I'm sorry, you missed it. But let me help you out. Every night on CNN, turn into Chris Cuomo, because he pretty well bears his arse every night anyway and shows what an arse he is. So you can go to CNN on any night that he's on, and you'll see his face, but it equivalates the same in my opinion. Chris Cuomo, give me a call if you're upset about that remark. I'll be waiting.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
COVID-19, coronavirus, is real. But despite all the hype, the fake news, there's no need to panic. Still, you want your environment safe for customers, employees, family. What can be done? How much would it cost? Who to trust? I can tell you, Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental would determine the best way to protect against COVID-19. Wellington Environmental can do it at a very reasonable cost. When it comes to trust, for more than 30 years, Wellington Environmental has been working with hospitals, nursing homes, universities, schools, even private homes. You don't last more than 30 years if you're not doing an excellent job. COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has the experience to give you peace of mind. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
At its core, one of the issues that I think we should all agree on is that it is old thinking, it is outdated, and is actually wrong and backward to think that more police officers will create more safety.
Those are the words of Senator Kamala Harris of California, Democrat, hoping to be on the Biden ticket. More police officers will create more safety. That's backwards thinking. Now, remember, she was a prosecutor in California. As a prosecutor, did she think prosecuting more criminals would do what? Make things better or worse? Well, now, you know, she's kind of being held accountable occasionally from time to time because of so many she was prosecuting were black individuals. And now she wants to be on the vice president ticket position, and prior to that actually become president. But she wants you to know, if you think having more police, it's just backwards thinking. She goes on to talk about, if you want better safety in your communities, fund the public schools so teachers don't have to spend money out of their back pocket. Create jobs. Make sure everybody has access to health care, mental health care that's affordable. That creates safe communities. You know what? I'm in favor of everything she said. Create jobs for folks. Make sure they do have access to health care under some plan that is legitimate. And better mental health care. And that would help, yes. But do you think the thugs and the gangsters in the street doing their drug running and gang warfares, you think that they are going to believe that, well, if we get the police off the street, less police, it'll be a safer name. It'll be safer for them to do their business. That's what it will be safer for. But those in the community, they're going to be under more threat. And she dare says, to think that more police equals more safety, that's just wrong. Well, have you seen Kamala Harris go wandering through any of the really tough drug-infested neighborhoods just by herself without any regards or anything? Have you seen that? Surely she believes she should be able to do that. This is where the left idealistic approach breaks down over and over again. And it's happening, of course, in Minneapolis as you watch the city council deciding that, yeah, we're going to go to defund the police. And in here, I had her in the last hour. I'm going to do it again because I'm going to drive these points home. I want to expose them over and over again for their stupidity. The Minneapolis City Council President Lisa Bender saying, you know, we had talked about maybe a future without police. Listen to this.
You know, a lot of us were asked if we could imagine a future without police back in 2017 when we were running for office. And I answered yes to that question. To me, that future is a long way away, and it would take an enormous amount of investment in things that we know work to keep people safe. I mean, for a lot of folks in our community, stable housing is a safety issue. Having access to healthcare is a safety issue. And so having, you know, I think one thing folks are asking is, to stop investing so much money in this militarized police force and instead invest in the things that our community really needs. So, you know, I know the statement was bold, and I stand by that bold statement, but the work ahead of us will be long. It will include every member of our community. It has to.
The voice you heard trying to interrupt her was the anchor on CNN trying to get a question in because she was on a roll. But again, here she says, we need to make our community safer with better housing and job. I'm all for that. I will never stand against better and improved safe housing. It does help make a community safer than having burned down buildings on either side of folks trying to eke out the best living they can under the conditions they are. But you, if you're going to begin to defund police, take money out of policing and put it into youth basketball programs or something, the basketball program might be a good idea for some of those kids, but less money for policing to deal with the thugs and gangsters in their neighborhood and the gang warfares, you're not making them safer. The fact that they go play basketball on a court, suddenly they have to run for cover when there's a gang shootout. But again, back to Senator Harris and her belief that what we're doing here, what we have happening now, you know, more police is not going to make things better, and that our whole status quo of policing, it's just wrong.
We have to reimagine safety and public safety in America. You know, the status quo has been to determine and create policy around the idea that more police equals more safety. Mm-hmm. And that's just wrong. You know what creates greater safety? Funding our public schools so that currently 2/3 of our public school teachers don't have to come out of their own back pocket to pay for school supplies. What creates safety? Investing in the economic opportunities of communities, creating jobs. What creates safe and healthy communities? Making sure that all people have access to health care, mental health care, and that it is within their reach, meaning it is affordable. These are the things that create safe communities.
Speaking of mental health care, I think Senator Harris needs some help because she's really sold on the idea that less police will be making you safer. I will repeat again. And Donald Trump had that attitude. I want to improve the lives of every American. And that means a tide that lifts all boats and spend more money to help the minority communities. Infrastructure, and also open up the jails where they have been jailed maybe over and above what they should have been for the charge they were facing. Some of them put in jail, by the way, by Senator Harris when she was a prosecutor. Trump brought jail reform, prison reform. Not Obama. Trump has been pushing an economy prior to the virus that has cut the unemployment rate for blacks to an historic record low. And yet we still need to have policing. You get Senator Harris, and again back to Lisa Bender, the Minneapolis City Council president, they are all sold on, we just don't need police. There are better ways to keep us safe. And, well, again, to Lisa Bender, the Minneapolis City Council president.
So many in Minneapolis to see what many already knew, which is that our police department is not keeping every member of our community safe. And so I think step one for us is to tell the truth. 9 council members from communities all across the city of all different backgrounds standing together to tell the truth and say, this system isn't working for too many of our neighbors for too long. Our reform efforts have failed, and we have done many, many attempts at reform and new leadership in the department and many things. And we still see this tragic death. And so I think the wake up of our community is what's driving the city council's announcement yesterday. And now the hard work begins for us to rebuild systems that really work to keep all of our community safe.
Reform of police departments and some of their policies, that's not a bad idea. But defunding, cutting resources, fewer officers on the street, less availability to fight crime, that's not going to make you safer. And yet they are selling that gobbledygook because all the other socialists buy into it. In the last hour, I told you about Camden, New Jersey, how they, quote, decided to get rid of their police, as a CNN article was touting. They didn't really ban police entirely in the community. They just got rid of their police department, let the county take it over. And apparently the Camden City Police Department was full of corruption. But they didn't stop policing. And as I said earlier, the leader of the NAACP, the leaders of the Congressional Black Caucus, and even Joe Biden now saying, no, he can't defund police. And Senator Ted Cruz coming out saying, Dems have, quote, lost their minds. Having met repeatedly with victims, parents, teachers hurt by gun violence in schools, the single most effective way to keep our kids safe is more armed officers in schools. And, of course, they're talking about taking police officers out of schools. Those police officers of the schools are not just there to stop violence. That's a key point. If something goes wrong, be it a kid bringing a gun in or someone else or a knife or whatever is underway in a violent situation or peddling drugs to the other kids, but also to make relationships with these kids, become kind of a mentor, and they get to know him and he or her, and they get to know the kids. There's a real benefit to that. It is as essential as when you put police officers into communities and say, get out of your car, walk the neighborhood, the streets a little bit, get to know the people. Don't just drive by. Get to know them and they get to know you. It will help things, and it will, and it has. But right now, everybody's just get rid of police. They're just so bad. The Denver School Board could vote next week on a resolution that would remove police officers from its public schools by the end of this year, whenever they go back to school. The Minneapolis Public School Boards last week voted unanimously to terminate its $1 million school resource officer contract with its police department, because all of those officers in the midst of their schools are just like the officer that is charged with killing George Floyd, right? No, they're not, but they're all wearing a uniform and have a badge. They must all be the same. In Portland, the superintendent has said in Oregon's largest school district, they're going to drop school resource officers. L.A. is considering doing it because of being pushed by the teachers' union. They got 410 officers serving the L.A. Unified School District with more than 600,000 students, so they're doing the best they can with those numbers, and yet you've got many of them saying, we have to dismantle white supremacy, defund the police, bring in the mental health services our students need. I'm all for helping students with mental health issues and the general public. But again, is the answer to get rid of police, defund the police? Let me give you another perspective. Alice Marie Johnson is now a criminal justice reform advocate. President Trump, by his commutation, got her released from federal prison in June of 2018. She was facing a life sentence, convicted of drug conspiracy and money laundering. Sentenced in 1997, life drug conspiracy and money laundering. She admits, I got into something I shouldn't. She doesn't pass the blame, but she said, I shouldn't have done it, but really life for that, for a grandmother at that point, and all the gangsters out there is plea bargaining, just take the gun charge off, I'll plead to the drugs, and so I don't face life or whatever. But President Trump stepped forward and commuted her sentence. What does Alice Marie Johnson, this Tennessee grandmother, think about defunding police?
I don't like that idea either. I would like to know that if I'm having trouble, that I can call on the public servants, the police, and that they're going to protect me and my family. So I just don't think that that's a good idea. I've got family members who are police officers, and I know that they don't want that label put on them the same way I didn't want a label put on me as a bad person. I made a mistake. And to
one time offense. And you lost your
life. My first ever. Yeah. I was marked for death.
She said I was marked for death. Now, she wasn't facing capital punishment, but in her mind and those around her, she was dead to the world, life in prison for one offense. One offense. And President Trump said, that's not right. Set the woman free. And she says, you need police, and I want to be able to call police. Well, if you call police now, you're exercising a privilege. I'll break that down in more detail in a moment, before we wrap up the hour. We'll take a break now. When we come back, I want to tell you about the violence in Chicago. Where's the policing there? And what's going to happen there? Please stand by.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Today they're having the funeral service for George Floyd in Houston, Texas. Then he used to be buried in Pearland, Texas. That's where he grew up. And, of course, he was killed in Minneapolis on May 25th, when a Minneapolis police officer put his knee into the back of his neck and would not let up for 8+ minutes, as he said repeatedly, I can't breathe. And, of course, then we've had the protests and the riots, not just protests, but riots that started. Chicago had, on May 31st, its bloodiest day in 60 years. May 31st, again, Floyd killed May 25th, and as a video came out and began to circulate, all these other events began to happen. Not just peaceful, First Amendment guaranteed protests, but rioting, violence. Chicago with its bloodiest day in 60 years, 18 murders in a 24-hour period. One senior research director at a crime lab, the crime lab in Chicago, said, we've never seen anything like it at all. I don't even know how to put it in context. It's beyond anything we've ever seen before. The most violent day in the records up to that time, August 4th, 1991, when 13 were murdered. And you had the riots and everything else going in Chicago. Maybe not all the deaths directly tied to rioting, but police were tied up with the riots, so they couldn't be available. And several of the Chicago aldermen were complaining on a conference call to Mayor Lightfoot. As looting and rioting continued, they said, we need help. We got folks losing access to food and medicine. Businesses being burned down. One alderman, they say, could be heard weeping. Others angrily upset by what's happening. And one alderman says, my ward is an S show. An S show. You could supply the rest of the word. He said, they're shooting at police. It was no longer a peaceful First Amendment protest. And even the mayor herself recognized what she described as a massive, massive problem. And she described the rioters as just effing lawless right now. And it was an S show in Chicago. She even acknowledged it. because those in the streets were not, many of them, not just interested in peaceful First Amendment protest. Those who were found their event hijacked. Maybe they got pulled into it. And there were numerous deaths of folks who got trapped in that. In one case, there was a teenage girl. Another was a 36-year-old, two 18-year-old girls, I should say, a college freshman, a 36-year-old father of two. Oh, by the way, I got to add this point. Jussie Smollett, remember the actor who claimed that he got jacked up and assaulted and nearly lynched by some guys wearing a MAGA hat? They were acting like, suggesting they were Trump supporters. Remember all that? All that story got debunked. Now he's using the Black Lives Matter protests in the streets to put additional pressure on the Chicago Police Department, saying, you didn't treat me right in my case. Once again, taking the death of George Floyd and using it for some kind of personal gain. He might as well be looting and causing arson like the rest of them, in my opinion. We'll take a break when we come back. I want to focus again because I want to drive this home. Can you have a future? A future city in this nation without police. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So you're sitting in your favorite chair, you're enjoying your coffee, and then you see it. What is that? It's moving. Oh, it's a bug. Now, you don't care what kind, you just want it out of your house. Call Rottner Pest Solutions. They'll show up, take care of that bug and all of his friends. Now, you might think any pest control company could do the job, but with Rottner, all employees go through extensive background checks. And Rottner is proud to be the first company in Missouri to receive the Quality Pro Green designation. Plus, Rottner stands behind its work with a money-back guarantee, offering free inspections anytime. So after Rottner clears your house of any pesky critters, go back to your chair and that cup of coffee. Rottner Pest Solutions, Missouri's largest family-owned pest control company, serving more than just the St. Louis metro area. Go to Rottner.com, Rottner.com, and schedule a free inspection. Rottner.com.
When it's over, so let's see. It'll rain a sunny day. I know.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You know, a lot of us were asked if we could imagine a future without police back in 2017 when we were running for office. And I answered yes to that question. To me, that future is a long way away, and it would take an enormous amount of investment in things that we know work to keep people safe. I mean, for a lot of folks in our community, stable housing is a safety issue. Having access to healthcare is a safety issue. And so having, you know, I think one thing folks are asking is to stop investing so much money in this militarized police force and instead invest in the things that our community really needs. So, you know, I know the statement was bold, and I stand by that bold statement, but the work ahead of us will be long. It will include every member of our community. It has to.
Yeah, I'm repeating that sound bite because I think it's critical you hear it. That is the City Council President in Minneapolis, Lisa Bender, saying, you know, we were asked in 2017 when running for office, can you imagine a future without police? And she said, I can. I answered yes. It's a long ways off, but I believe we can have it without any police. That we don't need police to create a stable community. We have housing. That'd make things stable. Access to health care, that'd be stable. Those are all safety issues, and quit investing so much money in this militarized police force. You know where they come up with that. Because some of the appropriations are used to buy Humvees and armored vehicles for police departments, for riot control, the very thing we've been seeing, not for standard policing, and sometimes for a barricaded suspect who might have innocence being held captive, or an officer is down and they can't get to the officer, or even a citizen down on the street, they can't get to them because of gunfire coming from an area. So they can roll up on those vehicles, provide some protection. Now, if Lisa Bender were on the street bleeding out and police were going to try to save her and there were shots being fired constantly, they would bring in one of those militarized vehicles that she's so concerned about to put it between her and the shooter so they could get her to safety and help take care of her. You think she'd be thankful, or would she say, no, you shouldn't have had that? She is among those saying we need to simply defund police. And the Minneapolis City Council voting to defund it. Take the money away. Dismantling it. More than reform, to dismantle the police department. And Senator Kamala Harris, former prosecutor in California, says, I don't think having more police is better anyway.
We all have to step back and ask, is that the smartest and best way to actually achieve safety through healthy communities? We have safe communities. And I also have to point something else out, Chris. When you go to middle and upper middle class suburban communities, you don't see the patrol car sitting out on the corner and patrolling the streets like you do in other neighborhoods. You don't see the kind of police presence.
And why do you think that is? Because there's not an overload, accelerated crime problem in that community. It makes no difference if it's a white community, a minority community. If it's stable and it's well-maintained and people are doing their thing without causing mayhem and doing drugs and gang warfare on the street, yeah, you don't put police in those areas. And she says, see, this is a perfect example. If you have a nice neighborhood and people, then you don't need the police. Yeah, I think I understand that. But when the shooting starts and the gang warfare is taking place and drugs running up and down your street, you don't want the police then either, right? Oh, I haven't even gotten to the point about if you call police, you're abusing your privilege. I'll get to that in a moment. By the way, evangelical pastor Franklin Graham says, yes, George Floyd's death sparking a new pandemic of fear. Some Democrats say the solution is defund or dismantle police departments. This has to be one of the most irresponsible ideas I've ever heard. It would lead to more anarchy. We are a nation of laws, and laws need to be enforced. There's never a time or place for police brutality or discrimination. That has to stop. But now many good police officers are considering resigning or retiring early due to the treatment they're receiving. He said, the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. And this is the calling many have answered with their lives. And police stand between us in total anarchy. But again, you got the Minneapolis City Council saying, we don't need the police. Get rid of it. We talked about a time we would not have police. Let's try it now. Good luck with that. And Kamala Harris also kind of signing. Joe Biden has finally decided, I think I know which way the wind is blowing, so I'm going to say, no, I'm not in favor of abolishing police or even defunding them. The NAACP president declining to endorse defunding police. He said, I support the energy behind it, but I don't know what substantially that means. As I'm talking to people about the concept, I've gotten three different explanations. I know we need a change in the culture of policing, but he's not buying into it either to defund it. And they're talking about cutting any federal dollars from their police department and putting into community programs and things of that nature. Well, that's good, but don't take it out of the police budget. Maybe take it out of the salaries of your elected officials. Maybe we start there. And then you get Congressman Will Hurd. Congressman Will Hurd of Texas, Republican, a black man. I only point that out because he is a black representative in the House. The only black Republican serving in Congress. In the House, Tim Jones, a senator, the other black Republican in the Senate, and the Democrats who have so many black support and believe they own them, they got many in the Congress members as black legislators, but in the Senate they don't have anyone that they think is worthy of being a U.S. senator, or they would have put someone in, don't you think? Well, Will Hurd is also a former CIA officer. He's a representative for Texas' 23rd Congressional District since 2015. He is the sole remaining Republican representative from a district along the U.S.-Mexico border, stretching from along the Rio Grande up to El Paso. and he is not in favor of defunding police.
Defunding the police is going to make our communities less safe, right? What we should, we know what best practices are, and we should be following best practices across the country, and all police departments should be doing that. One example I often use, 10%, one out of every 10 stops that a police officer does involves mental health, a mental health issue in the person that they're stopping. Yet, police departments, most police departments around the country only require 8 hours of training when it comes to mental health. If you compare and contrast that with my hometown, San Antonio Police Department, which is seen as one of the best when it comes to dealing with mental health issues, they have 40 hours of training. We know what best practices are. Under the previous Obama administration, they had a commission on 21st policing. President Trump has a commission on improving law enforcement. Let's make these standards and let's tie federal dollars. Let's say, hey, if you're not doing these kinds of things that we think are best practices, then you're not going to get the $2 billion that Department of Justice provides.
Now, that makes sense. If you're not going to follow best policing practices, yeah, we will take federal dollars from you. But not at the risk of endangering communities. And again, Congressman Will Hurd of Texas says there's another issue that also needs to be addressed.
We also need to empower police chiefs to be able to fire bad cops. Police chiefs and everybody else on the force know who those bad police officers are. Oftentimes, when someone gets fired, it goes through a thing called arbitration. And through arbitration, they put that bad cop back on the force. That happens 46% of the time. If we strengthen a chief of police ability to make sure he has the best officers that he can, then we're going to be a lot better off, and we're not going to let a couple of bad apples ruin the reputation of an entire force.
Reasonable thinking by a Republican, a black Republican, and many Democrats are kind of nodding, yeah, I agree. We better policing will do it, not disbanding or pulling funding from them just because you want to get rid of them, as they're doing in Minneapolis. That's their plan. So once again, to the Minneapolis City Council President, Lisa Bender, and she was asked, well, if you want to, you're not talking about reforming, you mean dismantling police. What happens if you need to call for, if you need 911, what happens then? Here's her answer.
Yes, I mean, I hear that loud and clear from a lot of my neighbors, and I know, and myself too, and I know that that comes from a place of privilege, because for those of us for whom the system is working, I think we need to step back and imagine what it would feel like to already live in that reality where calling the police may mean more harm is done.
So if you call 911, you're exercising your privilege. It's to make you feel guilty. You do know that. You just have to, you have to defend your house yourself. You have to keep the burglars out yourself, the looters, the arsonists. If they're coming through the door, attacking your family, raping your children, just don't call 911 because you will be abusing your privilege. But her attitude, again, bringing police in might be more harm. There are cases that I would agree that would be, but they're minuscule. Most of the time, lives are saved when police are brought in and they do the job properly. There have been some police officers at some of these protests that have been kneeling, trying to show solidarity. I'm going to share a couple of stories where the officers did not kneel, and the response and the attitude and why they chose not to be taking part in that kind of protest movement. I was going to say charade, but the people doing it, not necessarily doing it in charade. They mean in all honesty, but two officers who didn't. I'll explain why in a moment.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
In the previous hour, just in case you missed it, remember you can always go to Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Facebook, and hear previous programs in case you miss them or you want to make sure you share them with someone else. And a lot of our programs get recycled and sent to other people that missed the original program, and I appreciate that. But I was talking about this Democrat event the other day in the Capitol, where several Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and others, several white Democrats and some black Democrats, were down on one knee wearing a kente cloth around their neck. Now, a kente cloth is an African woven fabric traditional for Ghana. The Republic of Ghana is on the sub-region of West Africa. And there was backlash immediately. It came in part from a Republican in California, a black Republican running for Congress, Earl Weber. He said, these Democrats have no interest in black America. These fools think that, because they put some kente cloth on, they're going to get the black vote. Now, that's his opinion. It's a Republican. But it also came from others who did not identify if they're Democrat or Republican. They didn't care. One of the pro-life activists, which I assume might well be a conservative, said there's more kente fabric in this picture than at a Ghanaian traditional wedding. And they were upset. They were saying you're misappropriating our culture and you're using it for political exposure and wrong. Another one said, excuse me, dear Democrats, in your tokenism, you didn't wait to find out that this thing you're hanging around your neck is not just some African uniform. These fabrics, they mean something to us. And one said, the D.C. Africa fabric shop is probably sold out in order to meet the demand of this ridiculous tokenism by Democrat politicians. Dear Africans, step aside. Hashtag cultural appropriation at its worst. And again, more kente cloth shown by those legislators than you'd find at a true Republic of Ghana wedding. Oh, it blew up in their face. And by the way, they were on their down on one knee for 8 minutes, 46 seconds, the amount of time, of course, that the officer's knee was in the back of the neck of George Floyd before he died and was released, the knee came up. And when Nancy Pelosi tried to stand after being on one knee for 8 minutes, 46 seconds, she needed help getting up. I'm not knocking it. I mean, she's 80 years old. But she did say, well, it would have been better not to have high heels on. So I will admit, many of us at any point, I don't care if you're young or not, you're down on your knee for 8 minutes, 46 seconds, and suddenly try to stand by yourself on a very slick floor, you might want some help too. I'm not knocking, not mocking. Just pointing it out. So we've had police officers at various protests, peaceful protests around the nation, either marching with peaceful protesters or even kneeling, taking a knee as the crowd did in honor of George Floyd. In Lowell, Massachusetts, one police officer declining to kneel. The crowd was chanting, take a knee, take a knee. Well, he didn't want to do it. I'm not going to, basically. See, he said, I'm going to continue standing. And one man began to say, can you pray? Can you pray? Can you just pray? How about this? How about we take a knee, and pray? The officer continued standing. And the man saying, maybe we could pray, he started saying, well, I'll pray for you right now. And the crowd continued to demand, take a knee, take a knee. Now, you can interpret that any way you want. In some cases, with the officers doing it, if it's their own volition and they decide they want to do that and it would show some unity with concern, the officers did it. But to be demanded that you do it, would that be like telling those kneeling already, get up off your knee, you can't do that? Well, of course you can't do that. And, of course, I'm not going to go down the Kaepernick trail and the pledge all over again. I'm trying to stay focusing on George Floyd because I don't want to lose a real case of the story here, the essence of it. But that was in Lowell, Massachusetts. There's another piece of video, and I've got it in front of me, but the audio is so weak it's pretty hard to tell. But here's what happened. This is a Georgia State Trooper. Black Lives Matter protesters are shouting for him to take a knee, to kneel down, to kneel down. And they're claiming, you're not showing any respect. Well, the Georgia State Trooper said, if I didn't have any respect, I wouldn't be here. I was supposed to be out of town this weekend with my wife. I took off today, this weekend, but I'm out here to make sure all of you are safe. Now, this is a black Georgia State Trooper, and he's in. The crowd is getting incensed, in particular Black Lives Matter activists. Take a knee. You have no respect. He said, I have respect. I was off today to be with my wife this weekend, but I'm here to make sure you're safe. Another one was insisting it wasn't being respectful. And he said, don't go there with that respect, okay? I have much respect, but I only kneel for one person. This black Georgia State Trooper said, I only kneel for one person. And one demonstrator shouted out, and that's God? And the black Georgia State Trooper said, that's God. But for those that didn't like the fact he wouldn't kneel, it meant nothing to them. The left will not accept anything other than you marching to their drum. You cannot be your own thinker. Thanks again for joining us today. Let your friends and neighbors know about the program. We'll be back, of course, again tomorrow. Put it on your calendar, mark it in, book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.